Lakeside this year is being sponsored by the Leshkowitz family. This is Rochel Bas Chaim, Arya Aleh Shalom. The Kanner family, the cover the offer of the Chassam Moshe Ben Yamin. And the Greenbaum family, the Lishwitz Rebbe Lezer Ben Rebbe Akiva Aleh Shalom. And Lishwitz Rezel Bas Rebbe Eliezer Aleh Shalom.
Okay, don't forget the drush at the end. And the parasha.
Okay, Mazel Tov to all of you who are finishing Parashas Masechtas Menachos. Since you're completing Menachos and today was Parashas Shlach, I took the liberty of spending my time here on something on which I spent a great amount of time researching, and that is the new Tcheles that they have primarily in Eretz Yisrael. You see it here sometimes too. The chalazin, which they're identifying as a snail in the Murex family, and the feeling that that might well be the tcheles, the chalazin, and hence the tcheles. I spent quite a bit of time being ma'ayin into the sugya, not to pass him for Klal Yisrael, just to know for myself what the likelihood is that this Murex snail is the chalazin. And after a lot of eon and effort and correspondence with those who are involved and their answers to me, I'd like to share with you my basic research into the inyan and why I would say, my own opinion, Tamil Chamu could disagree. My opinion is, if there's a 50% chance it's the chalazin, we'd be mechuyev to use it. If there's a 10% chance, that will be called the Mira Matsui, so then it will be a nice thing to use it. If it's less than a 10% chance, the halach is you're allowed to eat treifis, which is less than 10% chance is treif, which is why we're not baidik for any type of treifis, which is less than 10%, a Mira Chayna Matsui. And to be honest, as I'll try to explain to you, I don't think there's a 10% chance that it's correct. There's a 0% chance, in my opinion, that the Rambam held that this is the chalazin. The Gris Moish, it's klar 100% that he did not hold it, that this is it. The Basham did not hold. And I'd like to explain to you where it comes from. The hanacha with which I began being ma'ayin into this sugya was that we don't paskin halachis for midrashim. You get a medrash or a Latin word which fits with an Arab word which fits with a balaz and rashi. I never saw in paskim should paskin halachis based on these things. And halacha has to be paskin based on Shas Bavli. And for this to be the chalazin, it has to shtim, it has to possibly shtim, at least with every single Gemara in Shas Bavli. I'm talking about Pasha to Gemara. If there would be a tiyufta from one Gemara, it would be a tiyufta, it would be finished. There's zero chance that this is the chalazin. So I'd like to do, I made a list of the eight Gemaras that talk about the chalazin. And I went through them with effort, and going through the svarim of those who produced the tcheles and hold that it's correct, and learning what they wrote about it. I want to be magdim that they are tremendous talmidei chachamim, and erenz to people. It's not a political thing. Some people, everything is political. But they're erenz to people, both in the yeshiva world and in the modern Orthodox world. It's more in the modern Orthodox world, but they are b'nei Torah who feel that it's correct. And today I'd like to explain why I think it's a toss. And I have a letter that it was written to me to answer my tainus, and I think the letter itself, it concedes some of the points. But whatever time will permit, I'd like to share with you. I'd also like to be magdim that Kabbalistic ideas, that the chalazin is gone forever, has no place in halacha. Halacha, we paskin based on the paiskim, and whether the Volbi writes in one of his letters, a Klal Gadol, that whoever quotes the Zoya and the Arizal directly is quoting it incorrectly. He writes, I think, the Rav Palam, the Ben Ish Chai from the Mekubalim, writes that we don't understand any Zoyars unless it's passed through one of the Gedolei HaMekubalim who explained it to us. So again, I'm talking about Shas Bavli. I'm going to go through eight Gemaras, try to go learn the Rambam and see if it's any possibility, a likelihood, forget it, but at least a possibility that the Murex is correct. The first Gemara is a Gemara which fits very well, the only Gemara which fits very well with what has been found. That's a Gemara Shabbos Ravav that says that the Chalazin is found between Salmei Tzur and Haifa, in the Mediterranean Sea, in the area between the cliffs of Tzur of Tyre, and Haifa is where this is found. Now, that fits very well with what they found. That is Taka, where it's found. And that's the one Gemara that stims. Now, they publicized pictures of caves from thousands of years ago with shells of the snail to prove that this snail is the Chalazin. Now, that's an absurdity, because there was no sign on the cave, Talis Fabrik. No indication, it's indication that you may die from these snails. Well, why did they may die from the snails? Question is, did they make it for tzitzis, or did they make it for other things? So the pictures of the caves is just something to fool people. It has absolutely no bearing on whether it's the Chalazin. But the fact is that it stims well with the Gemara in Shabbos Chavav that says where it's located. After that, it's all downhill. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Ayin Dalid says that the malach of kosher umatir, one of the two of the Lamed Tes malachas are tying and untying. The kosher umatir were in the Beis Hamikdash, shekein tzidei chalazin kosher umatirin. That the tzidei chalazin would tie and untie. Of course, in the midbar they didn't catch chalazin, but it means they didn't plant anything either. They made the mishkan within a very short period of time. But it means to make it, you would need a kosher chalazin. And Rashi says, Kol rishtois asuyin ksharim ksharim. The rishayim consistently talk about nets, using nets to catch the chalazin. Now immediately, this is problematic. You use a net to catch something that flies in the air, so you need a net to catch it. Or something that swims in the water, you need a net to catch it. If there was a creature that crawls on the floor, you wanted to catch a creature that crawls on the floor, you would never use a net. Because a net is something you use to be able to pass through air or water. If somebody is trying to catch a mouse, I've never seen anybody use nets. And in fact, for the chalazin, the way chalazin is caught, baskets with bait are put in the bottom of the sea. The chalazin, which is a snail, the one that they're identifying as a snail, and that snail is a very slow crawling creature. It crawls into the box to get its bait, and then you pull up the box and you have the chalazin. You don't have to use a box, you can use anything you want on the bottom of the sea. There's no reason in the world that anybody would use a net. Now, to this, I got the response they gave me was that in fact, that the Chachmi Umas Ha'olam said it's a derech. They didn't give me a maramakim. However, in the Torah Mada journal, an article was printed saying that that this is the Chalazin. So there, they write their source. They write Aristotle and Pliny explain the method for catching murex snails was using baited wicker baskets and nets. Who's going to go look up Aristotle and Pliny? So you can get away with it. I looked up Aristotle. They write where they're getting it from. Aristotle has a series of books on nature. And in his History of the Animals, in Book 15, Chapter 5, which is their Maramachim, it does not say a word about nets. The language, and this is a translation from Greek, it may not be a perfect translation, but it says the following. Fishermen in past times used not to lower creels or attach them to bait, so that very often the animal got dropped off in the pulling up. At present, however, they always attach a basket, so that if the animal fall off, it is not lost. If the animal falls off the bait. Then he explains the animal is more inclined to slip off the bait if it's full. If the animal is full, if it's empty, it's difficult to shake it off. there's no mention of any net in this whole chapter. It talks about creel. A creel is a basket that's used to hold fish. It talks about wicker baskets. And if you wanted to lower a rope with bait, I guess you could do it the way you catch a fish. But the allusion to the fact that Aristotle said anything about nets is incorrect. As far as Pliny the Elder, I don't know how to get a hold of his books, so I didn't look it up. But the reference to nets is not consistent with catching snails. It's consistent with catching fish or any swimming creature, but not with snails. So that Gemara does not fit well at all.
Did Gemara say nets?
Rashi says nets. Rashi and most Rishayim say nets. The Gemara does not say nets. It's true.
Okay,
it could be they used to be kosher the baskets. Why would they be kosher a basket? I have no idea.
Because they're wicker baskets.
But, yeah, wicker baskets are not made with tying unless you have a rope on it. We have wicker baskets and there's nothing tied on it. It's woven. Oireg would be a malacha. So it's like maybe it's a kasha from Rashi. It's Rashi and the Ritva, and I would guess if you look in the Ramban and the Rashi, you'd also see references to Rishtais. Yes? Why would you stick it under the sand? It's possible they use nets. I can't say. But they're telling me Aristotle said nets. I have Aristotle. He doesn't say nets.
The other thing is the fact that they, I think there's something showing the fact that they have caves where they die.
Caves?
You said they had caves.
The caves are not where they caught them. That's where they brought them.
Where they brought them.
Right.
Even if they weren't used for trailers,
right.
The rye would be that then the same way the Chachamim told you not to use Kahilai should have also warned you not to use.
That's a time. Should warn you not to use this.
Not to use this.
Okay. It's a time. I hear. Okay. That's it. The third Gemara is the Gemara in the same Sogi. It says that Tzad Chalazin.
You don't know what color.
They actually produce numerous colors. I want to get to
it. Because
it may not be the same color. I'd like to go beseda. I want to. I'll talk about the color. I'd like to go beseda. I'll tell you why they think they know the color. I'll get to it. The third Gemara is the same sugi. It says if yitzat chalaz and yichayim mishum seda. That's the biggest kasha on them. Anybody who learned anything about hilchis seda knows that there's a snail. When you catch a snail, you're not chayim mishum seda. Snails move exceedingly slowly. And anything that you could get b'shicha achas in one lunge is not sudva oimed. This is the most difficult kasha on saying that a snail is the chalazin. They did write back to me, mashakosafta du nitzit va'oimed ze be'emis kusha gedayla. He says it's shver anyway on other references to the chalazin. But there's no teretz that's brought. And if it's tzad chalaz and eschayiv, it's very hard to understand that it could be a snail. This is a major problem. The only way out that I know, which they didn't mention, is to say that the tcheles and the chalazin in the Mishkan is not the same chalazin as on the tzitzis. And tcheles is the tzitzis. It sounds like a tremendous daichik. And probably it is. Rabbi Yaakov in the Sefer and Chumash entertains the possibility that it's two different chelas and chalazin. But those who are involved in making this can't say that because one of the shtarka shitas is, as you mentioned, that there's no other kala hadoimulai besides kala ilan. So to say that there were two chalazins that made things called chelas would not be something that they're nicha with. It's the only way I know to get out. You'd get out of both kashas from Masechta Shabbos. Because then the tcheles and the chalazin of the Mishkan was one. It was also chalazin, also tcheles. Tcheles and chalazin of the tzitzis was another. It's not nicha to anybody, such a mahalach. But it's the only mahalach that I know to get out of the problem. So, not clearly, but he leaves room for such a chil. So three Gemaras I mentioned. The Shabbos Gemara Chavav, which is taka, the location, is what they say. The two other Gemaras that are problems, the Rishtais and the Tzad being Chayiv. Now the fourth is an interesting, is a Gemara Sanhedrin Tzadik Aleph. It says that if someone goes up to a mountain, Ola Lahar, V'roa Shehayayim, Ein Vayela Chalazin Echad, all he sees is one Chalazin. And the Gemara says, L'macha Yardu G'shamim, it rains, and the Smalei Kulai Chalazinus. And it gets filled with many of these creatures. You know that when it rains, the worms come up. Worms live under the ground. When it rains, the water seeps into the holes. They can't breathe. So they can't breathe, they come up. So any creature that lives under the ground, when it gets wet, comes up. So Gemara says that's the chalazon bahar in a mountain. There's a Chuvas Marsham, Chelekei, I must have given the wrong Maramak, and it's Chuvah Lamed Aleph. It's the closest Chuva to the Murex Chalazon. The Chuva says that it's a creature that lives in the water and that migrates out of the water but always goes back to the water, which fits with the Murex. The problem, though, is that the Murex cannot live out of water for more than a few hours. It needs water to live. And as soon as it dries, it dies unless it goes back into the sea. And this is something that I got, the information I got is from the people involved in the Murex. It can only live for a few hours. That it could go up a mountain, live up a mountain, and when rain comes, bring its way up, doesn't fit with the language. It doesn't fit with this Murex. It doesn't shtim b'chlal. The answer that those involved have said is that, oh, that's a different chalazin. The Yad Ramah says the Sanhedrin Tzadik Aleph chalazin is not the same chalazin as the Tchelis, which is fine. So then the Gemara is not a Raya, it's not a Kasha. The Marsham understood that is the chalazin. As I said earlier, there's no way to understand the Chuvas Marsham to shtim with today's Murex. All right, the Marsham was talking theoretically. He didn't see any creatures. He was explaining the Gemara. But Lamaisa, this is a fourth Gemara that mentions it, which doesn't shtim with today's Chalazin. And the only way out is to say, oh, it's referring to a different Chalazin, which could be. The fifth Gemara is the well-known Gemara Menachos. People who talk about the Tcheles and Chalazin without having enough time to prepare just talk about that Gemara. It says, Gufay Demel. It's obviously some type of Midrashic Gemara. Gufay Demel Yam and B'yosei Demel Adag V'oila Pamachas La'ayin Shana. So that, I'm asking, it doesn't shtim, but it doesn't have to shtim. They were already Hocha by Nemushais, whether coming up once in 70 years is meant literally, or whether coming up once in 70 years is meant just that it's a rare creature, hard to get. So I'm asking, there's no mashmois from there. Gufay Demel Adag does not fit. What they have shown in the advertisements, if you trace the snail, you take away the tracing, it's a little similar to a fish. Very little. It's like the stars are similar to the constellations. It's a shvacha thing, but it's hard to ask it to yufta from the Gemara, which at any rate is difficult. And as I say, that's a fifth Gemara. It's going Beseder. It's not. There's no raya from the Gemara to this. Certainly not a raya. It's certainly not oila achas l'shem Roshana. All right, but Gedali Yisrael already said that oila achas l'shem Roshana is lav davka. It's a Rashi in Yirmiyah Nun Beis that seems to say it's found all the time. And Memela, this kasha is not such a shtaka kasha. Today, nothing is rare because we already are sophisticated. The Murex is not a deep water creature. It's a creature that's in water, which is between, most of the time, between 5 and 15 meters deep, which is not very deep. It's likely that once you know it's there, you can get it. But it's hard to know. Today, things are very sophisticated, and it's easy to catch. I don't know if it was rare then. The sixth Gemara, to me, is the biggest tiyufta of all. The Gemara, in a few places, above Metzia Samach Aleph, one of them, says that a Kaddish Baruch Hu is osed lefraya, Kaddish Baruch Hu is going to punish those who take Kala'ila and then pretend it's Tcheles. The Gemara is saying that there's something called Kala'ila, which is similar to Tcheles. Why would anybody say Kala'ila is Tcheles? Kala'ila is cheap. It's an inexpensive vegetable-based dye. The Tcheles is expensive. It certainly was expensive. It's still pretty expensive. It's an expensive dye. And Mamela, now this is the raya that those who are for the Murex bring, their strongest raya. I have to tell you, there was about 20 years ago, there was an assemblage in YU introducing the new Tcheles. And I got a tape of Rav Herschel Schechter spoke there. And Dr. Norman Lamb spoke. And Dr. Lim showed he shut off the lights and showed, I had the tape, I couldn't see it, but he showed Kala Ilan, we know what it is. Let's say they're right. Because the word indigo is used by Rishaynim, and today we have indigo. Let's assume they're right. So the indigo color and the tchelas that they're making is the same color. It's a raya, it's the same. Now what he showed was the molecular structure of the indigo dye and the molecular structure of the tchelas dye. And they're exactly the same. There's no difference between them. You can take things out of different products, just like if you take glycerin out of an animal, out of the fats of an animal, or glycerin out of vegetable fat. You make glycerin. No lab could tell you if it comes from a kosher source from flesh or trefa source from vegetables, because the glycerin itself is a molecule, a specific molecule. So if you take oxygen out of water, once you take oxygen, you can't tell if it came from water or it didn't come from water. The dye molecule, which is in the indigo and in the tchelas, is exactly the same, b'li shum shinui b'neim. That was what he showed, and that's what they printed. And now this makes it impossible that the tchelas is this indigo, is this molecule. First of all, nobody in their right mind would spend money on tchelas dye. The tchelas dye was expensive, not because it's tzitzis, because kings used it. It was used by everybody. If the molecular structure is exactly identical, it's absolutely illogical that anybody would spend a penny more on the same exact dye, which you can't tell the difference. Once you make the dye, you have it in a pot, no one can tell the difference. It's illogical that anybody would spend any more money on the Murex dye than on the indigo dye. What?
I can't hear you.
I'm talking about the kings. The kings spend money on it. Why would they spend money on it? The kings didn't care about the halacha. All right, it's okay. Now, besides that, Chazal do say a difference between them. They say there are ways of checking. You can get the dye of the Murex. You can use soaps, and you can use all kinds of things, and whatever the Chazal say, you could be baidik. The Kali Ilan comes out, and the Tchelas doesn't come out. If the molecular structure is 100% identical, then there's a problem. This would be a tiyufta legamri on the whole thing. People pay for the name. What about the second nekuda? The fact that one comes out and one doesn't. So the truth is, they realized, since 20 years ago, they realized this is a tiyufta. They came to the realization that this is a tiyufta.
The process the same?
What?
The process of drying may be different.
Perhaps. Well, once you have the molecules, it's hard to understand. They say that it's not entirely true what Dr. Lane said. And what they printed is not exactly the same. There's something that sticks to one and doesn't stick to another. There's been a give back on it. But whatever the give back is, at least the way it was presented initially, if anything, is something of a problem. You can answer. But to say it's a raya, it's a very difficult thing. My seventh ha'ara is the following. I don't know if any of you ever saw how this is made. I was interested in it from the beginning, not to ask Kashis on it, but Bemis, I was interested. 20 years ago when it came out, I invited someone to the shul, then we were still in a rented quarters, and he brought the murex and he made tchelas in front of us, however long it took. He didn't make tchelas on the threads, but he made the dye. This summer I went again to where they make it, and I was in a place where they make it, out in Eretz Yisrael. And I was very impressed by the people, very impressed by... I was most impressed because I spoke to them and they were masking certain problems and it was give and take, like you're learning a sugya. The thing that they'll tell you, anytime you go, one of the spectacular things they tell you is this, that, you know, this is the third candidate for tchelas. You all know the Radzina had the squid, which was a tchelas. Rav Herzog had the genitalia, which was a tchelas. And now we have the murex. The murex, Rav Herzog entertained the possibility as a tchelas, as the chalazin, but he rejected it because the dye is purple, not blue. So what they have discovered is that if you prepare the dye in direct sunlight, it turns blue instead of turning purple. When it comes out of the chalazin, it's like mucus, almost transparent mucus. It changes color when the oxygen gets into it. If you take it out in sunlight, it turns blue. And they make a big show out of it. Anytime you go, when they do it, because there was taka hamsah, usually you dye things indoors. How did they discover it? I don't know. They found this hamsah, and they did it by us in the shul. They put it on a windowsill, which was in direct sunlight, and then they finished the class, and by the time they finished, that turned blue.
They discovered it.
Who discovered it? It has a bad odor, and that's why they took it out. Okay, good. Now, I have a problem. It's nice. This is what they talk about. The problem is that the Gemara in Menachos Membeis, as well as the Rambam, give directions on how to make tchelas. Chazal don't always do it. But the Gemara here gives directions. How do you make this tchelas? We put it into a pot, we cook it together. We take a little off in an eggshell. We taste it to make sure it's ready. And that's how we make it. Well, exactly, it means whatever you like. You take it out in an egg to taste it because the pot that you taste is possible. Etc. Nidil Shema. It doesn't say, my Rai is only, it doesn't say, put it in sunlight. That's their whole speech. Amazing, you gotta put it in sunlight. The Rambam gives directions on making tchelas. Ketzat tzayvin tchelas shal tzitzis. Lechen atzem, shoyin oisei besid, akach mechapsin oisei, etchei naki, mersichin oisei, akach mevien dam chalazin, hudag shaday mein elein tchelas. V'domai shachru kidyayin, has black, this also doesn't, the Rambam can't possibly hold of this tchelas. The Rambam says, "Domei shachar kidyai." It comes out black. Ubi yamamelech umatzui. Now it's not found in yamamelech. The rishayim that taicha means is salt water, as opposed to fresh water. It's found. V'naisem besadam liyayra. V'naisem nimir samamonim kamei akumanyo kiyotzeben kedar shatzava amaisen. Rasicha naisem naisem bayatzemer chiyasekhen rakia zelt chel shatzitzis. If every time they give a class about it, this is their whole speech. It has to be in sunlight. Why didn't the Rambam mention it? Why doesn't the Gemara mention it? It's a difficulty, a major difficulty, with the possibility of the murex being the murex. Is it proof? It doesn't prove. But it's a problem. If it's kosher, probably not. And that itself is a discussion which I didn't want to go into. The question, I'm mentioning problems from Shas. There are Gedalei HaPaiskim who held that it has to come from a kosher creature. The Chidah among them. This was dealt with in the Sefer Ein HaTcheles from the Ritzina. It's not itself a Tiyofta, the Achalkim. But the point you're making is a good point. I'm, like I said when I started, I want to just go through Gemara, Rambam. It has to shtim. If I have a Shverikait from a Chidah, so it's a Shverikait, it's not a Tiyufta.
I think it was asking, how come they taste it?
How come they taste? You're allowed to be Tayyim. I'm sorry, the Gemara in Brachas says you're allowed to taste tray for things, prepare, in pilot. Taste Akazayas in your pilot. Gemara says you're allowed. Food, the Chazam and Xeri might swallow. If it's not food, so you're allowed to. The Pischei Tshuva in Sadi Ches, the beginning of Taruv, the second Pischei Tshuva, talks about tasting soap, tray for soap. When there's no chashash swallow, you're allowed to taste no kosher things in your pen. With no chashash swallow, deliberately, I mean. Yeah, I'm going to get back. I want to come back to the Rambam. You're right. I meant to prove from the Gemara so far. Anyway, the eighth Gemara, and I'll try to sum up, is by me also a kasha gedolad ma'id, except most people don't appreciate it. The Gemara Megillah Davov says that Zvulun was am. I think it's the Lashon. The Zvulun was unhappy with Tzchelek in Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Yisrael told him, Kulam Tzrich Halach for two things, for some type of crystal and for the Dam Chalazn. Everyone needs Zvulun for the Chalazn. Now, if you ask 100 from Yidden where Zvulun's Tzchelek was in Eretz Yisrael, 99 out of 100 will tell you it was on the shores of the Mediterranean Sea. The problem is, Zvulun l'chayfa mimishkain, everybody knows. So the problem is that if you don't learn Yeshua, so that's what you think. In Sefer Yeshua, the gvul of Zvul of every Shevet is described from city to city, an entire border of every single Shevet. It's not emes that Zvulun had a chelik at the shore of the Mediterranean. It's not emes. Some Rishonim taich that it was at the edge of the Kinneret, and they taich l'chayf yamim to mean the Kinneret, which the Kinneret is not a saltwater lake. It doesn't have any chalazin in it. And others, the Gra said, has the kasha, what's l'chayf yamim yishkai? So he says there is a ritzua of Zvulun that went to the yam, a thin ritzua. If you take any map, you take an Oscar Yeshua, Judaica Yeshua, anybody who ever made a map, you'll see Zvulun is not on the banks of the Mediterranean. Those who stick in Oscar, they stick in the Gra's Shita, they stick in a thin line that leads to the yam. So what's Pshat Zvulun L'chayfam Yishkai, and Zvulun is a ship? The answer is Zvulun were the sailors in Klal Yisrael, no question. They were the ones who went on ships and caught whatever had to be caught. But you have to understand, the Murex is caught a few yards offshore. The water, as I told you, doesn't have to be very deep. It's 12 feet deep. You can catch chalazin. You don't need one shevet. There were many. Usher had a big chalik on the border of the Mediterranean. What's with Zvulun? Why Dafka Zvulun? Why Zvulun? Why not Usher? Why not the other shvatim that were on the bank of the Mediterranean? Now, if you hold, like the Radzina, that it's a deep water fish, then, or any deep water creature, then you need sailors. You can't go out to the sea to catch things that are deep water creatures unless you have sailors. You need Zvulun. Zvulun who lived in the sea, they were the sailors. But to go and say that the Murex has to come onto Zvulun is a Dava Pella, because if you look at the film, I saw they produced the film. People go out in the little, it's like a rowboat, just it's a motorboat. Little boats, and they jump over the edge, and they go down, and they come up 5 minutes later with a basket with the snails. It was put there before, and they go back and get it. You don't need sailors for that. You don't need a sailor man to go and get it. Now, I wrote this kasha. It seems to be a big kasha. So the answer I got didn't answer the question. He just says, he says, Masha Kasafta, number 8, Lahakshis, and Murkas, 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 and Murkas. That's what I wrote to them. So he writes, what do you mean? Bikwa, but Parshas Vayisrik, Siv Behedya, Zvulun, Luchayf, Yamim, Yishkayim, the Gras Kasha. He doesn't write it from the Gra. Mavur, Shekibl, Nachla, Luchayf, Yam, at Sidai. Says a sailor, they checked him out and he came and says, Zvulun, you know, stack us up. But it has nothing to do with the kasha. So it's very, very difficult for me to understand this last thing. Now, I don't want to base what I'm saying on this last nakuda, because like I said, 99 out of 100 yidden are positive that Zvulun's chelik was on the banks of the Mediterranean. So I'm going to sound like I'm coming with some cuckoo sheet and saying this. So it's Hashem, someday we'll get there in Yeshua and I'll explain the, how many mefarshim is this kasha that has a shtim with the pasuk. So this, I don't want anybody to walk away and say, this is my main kasha. To me, it's a ikar kasha. To you, maybe it's not. You don't know if I'm saying makes sense or doesn't make sense. I don't know if you have an art scroll Yeshua. You don't have to read the words of Nach, Chas V'Shalom. You just look at the map. You look at the map, you'll see Zvulun, and in the map of Eretz Yisrael, Zvulun does not have a chelik on the banks of the Mediterranean. Either it's on the banks of the Kinneret, or it's landlocked, or if you go at the Gra, it sticks out till the Yam. So, let me sum up and tell you the problems. I don't think it's clear at all. It doesn't say a word about whether the sailors or not. It says Zvulun was upset. And they said, Kulam tzrichen lach. That's Lashon Hara. Everyone needs you for the chalazin. It makes zero sense. Yekilu Zvulun was the only one on the Mediterranean. Let's say Zvulun was on the Mediterranean. The only one. Everybody was on the Mediterranean. Usher had the biggest chalazin along the Mediterranean. Anyway, about the colors. Let me talk to you about the colors. Truth is, from the Murex, you can make many colors. But just like it could be purple, it could be blue. What I want to do is, I want it just to be mesuder. What I did is I went through 8 gemaras. 7 of the 8 gemaras are difficulties. Let's say you answer all the difficulties. So my taina to them is, and I've spent hours talking to those involved, Tabitha Torah, Tabitha Chamim, nothing political. But I told them, from Terutzim, you don't make halachis. You have to have at least a raya from a Gemara, some type of a hechatimsa to bring a raya. There's no, all the Gemaras, you can answer. It's a different halaz and Sam. There's no place in Shas except the location. There's any mashmois towards this. Now, add to that, the Rambam. The Rambam says three things that don't shtim. First of all, he says it's a dag. A dag means fish. No? Dag means fish. If you go in Herzog, there's a store selling dogim, you don't expect to get snails. It means a fish. Rashi, in one place, says a fish, in one place, says toilas, a worm. I don't know, maybe a worm is a snail. I don't know. But Tosfos and Shabbos says it's a dag. The Rambam says it's a dag. Now, their answer, they have a gra in Masechtas Kelim, I think Perek Yud Aleph, where he teaches a Mishnah there in Kelim that kol masha nimtza b'yam kari dag. The things found in the yam are also called a dag. And since this is found in the yam, that's the answer that the... Again, you can't buy a shita from inferring Shverikaiten. But it's not a satisfactory teretz, and what's most difficult is the Rambam says that it's black, it's shachar. It's black. It's not black. It comes out clear. If you let it develop indoors, it turns purple. Outdoors, it turns blue. And it's very hard to get away from it. The Rambam, A, says it's a dag. B, says it's black. And C, in making it, doesn't describe that you need sunlight. Now, is that a tiyufta? It could be. Maybe the halacha is not like the Rambam. But to try to shtup it into the Rambam and say, dog doesn't mean dog. And shachar doesn't mean shachar. Shachar means if you leave it somewhere and it ages for a long time, it turns black. When he told me this, I said, what? If it ages, it turns black? The Simra of Tchela says that the tzevas eina yafe, it never changes. He said, no, if you put it in wool, it never changes. But if you leave it out, then it could change. But that's what the Rambam meant. The Rambam is describing, Ketzer Oysena, Mevien Dam Chalazen, Hudak Shlomei Leina Tchelas, V'dami Shachar Kedyai, V'noysen Es Adam Liyayra. He means that if you leave it, stay a long time, it turns black. And to me, it's a pella that anybody could say such a thing in the Rambam. It's a dove pella. I think the Rambam is 0% chance that it's
it. But Rashi and Tosfos on the spot clearly don't agree with the Rambam.
Why?
Tosfos says, how could you put a tzavim on it? And Rashi can, but if the Rambam must put a tzavim on it, if it's black, how do you get it to blue?
The Gemara in one place seems to say that it has to be. And what you're saying is correct. I'll tell you, I pointed out to them that Rav Moshe certainly doesn't hold of what they're saying. Rav Moshe has one tshuva about the Tcheles. It's a tshuva on a different topic. The beginning of the tshuva, it's here, Adei Beis Kuf Lamed Gimel. So I don't know, I wrote them what Rav Moshe says. They wrote me back, he doesn't say it. So I don't know, maybe I wrote them the wrong Maramokim, I don't know. Rav Moshe is bothered by Akasha. The Akasha Rishayim asked, how could it be that Tcheles comes from the Chalazin and you eat some amanim, Mechitesi. So Rav Moshe answers that since we know the Kabbalah Tcheles is blue, and since it comes out black, so therefore it must be it's with Eruv some amanim. Vada Rabban, Yitzvu B'dam Chalazin Levada, Apostle, Deins at Tcheles, Shomer Taira. That's not Tcheles, so Kumash Shomer Rabban, Dam Chalazin Asma, who Shachar Kedyai, Veinitzav at Tcheles. I must have written the wrong Maramakim to them, or they looked it up in the wrong place. Rav Moshe is klar. He's coming, he's talking about something else. And he's talking about how could you just eat some amanim? The Torah says tchelas. He says, since it's black and the Kabbalah is it's blue, that's how we know. Now, whether Rav Moshe's lumdis is shver, is easy, but Rav Moshe's zicha, 0% that he held that this is it. He says it's black when it comes out. In a million years, you're not going to get the murex to come out black. It comes out the color, like I said, of saliva. It's a cloudy, a cloudy clear. So to sum up, what I'm saying is zicha no gemaris except the location that of any mashmais. There are three major problems. The fact if the molecule is identical, it doesn't fit. The idea that yichayev on seida, whatever you say about the nets, yichayev on seida for catching a snail, that's also kosher ad ma'oid. In the Torah Mada journal, they answered it, but I don't understand the words. I can read you. It's a very short piece. I read you the words. Maybe if the person would be, he'd explain it. But he answered the question. But don't know, I can give it to you, you can look at it later. If I read the words, you're not going to know, and I don't think anybody could understand how it answers the question.
But
I have no problem. I'm saying it's not the Rambam. There's no raya from a Rashi or a Tosfos. There's no raya. There are shverikaitin, and there's come out no raya except for the location, which is a raya. There's zero rayas to this particular creature being. Now, I'd like to add.
We know that there's only one creature that could be chalazin.
There could be many that are called chalazin. Could they all be for tchelas? I don't know. Maybe could be. I don't. I'm still working on one, but could be. Could be. Could be. Could be.
Yeah. He says Taylor's first, he says Yod, and then the next Rashi, down the line, he says it's black. Rashi itself says it's black. So it seems that, I don't know what's going on.
Well, the way the Rambam describes it, it comes out black, and by boiling it in here, some amount of it turns blue.
So the first Rashi is talking about when you're in?
The Yorick Rashi, I don't know how to answer. I don't know. It could be, I understand, it could be it changes. I'm aware of it because I see that everyone talks about it. The Radzina in the Sefer, Avi Sefer Ein Tchelas, he talks about the problem with the Rashi. There are a number of problems with Rashi. Rashi says in one place Dag, in one place Telas. It's also hard. Now,
when it comes to the fact that the Rambam says black,
which one? The Murex? The squid. The squid is carved black, yeah. Okay. There's a major problem with the Razina's Tchel. I think it's well known. I think it's pretty much accepted by 99% that the Razina was fooled, that he was incorrect. But to talk about this, I want to add, whatever time will allow, a few nekudas about the Latin words, which they make a big spiel about the Latin words from which it comes. I think it's, again, misleading. It's easy to talk about subjects that people don't know about. As a matter of fact, they passed in the shuls recently a totally, totally misleading piece of paper. It was in yeshiva also. And this was their new hanacha. And I don't think these are Talmid Chachamim doing it. Because they had that on the light spectrum, this particular color of blue reflects at 613 nanometers. 613 is Taryag. It's a Raya, it's the right one. It's some Kabbalistic right. Now, besides the fact that the number of nanometers on a light spectrum is arbitrary, it doesn't come from Sinai, the thing itself was not true. The Metchila wasn't true. And I'm telling you, was Nisbar, there's a Frum Yid, there's a professor of optics in New Jersey. Firstly, there's no such thing as exactly 613 on the light spectrum. Anything in the light spectrum is within a range. Nothing is always exactly, even to the eye it's the same color, it's not. And secondly, 613 nanometers on the light range is orange. It's not blue. What did they mean? There's a way of measuring. All light, all color comes from reflection. If you have all the colors, something is black. You separate in a spectrum, in a prism, you get different colors. All colors is white. If you get something that reflects different colors of the spectrum, you end up with blue. If it reflects other colors, the Murex dye, that color reflects 613. It's really minus 613 in the spectrum. The spectrum was drawn up, it was inverted, it's really supposed to be down. It up would be orange. 613, by reflecting all the orange parts and red parts of the spectrum, you end up with blue. So that it was just such a misleading, and it was silly from the first place. What does 613 nanometers have to do anything with Rayas? It was just certain things that are said with a absurdity, and it shouldn't be, it shouldn't even be. The truth is, they wrote, I'm talking about Talmid Chachamim involved, this Eretz Yisrael, they wrote to me that they're maskim, this thing with it being in the caves has nothing to do with anything, they wrote in the beginning of their letter. And these things are just made to confuse people. Now, and the Latin words, I want to tell you about Latin words. I don't know much about Latin. The Radzina also had a raya that it's the squid, also from Latin words. In the Einat Cheles, page Chav Dalit, he has rayas. The Itter calls it lamasma, the squid. And he brings that in Latin, the Itter calls that the chalazin with a lush in lamasma. I may not be pronouncing it right, but no one knows the difference. And in Latin, it's the same word. So, and he writes, Anu Tmei Ma Mishu Ben Tarish, Yefakfek Barayazu. He says, the Chacham Tzvi Ki Yitzabai, put a Raya Linyan Dina, Lagabi the Marar, Lashainis from the Lashon of Latin. So he says, he has a Raya Brura from Latin. That's first of all. And second of all, they bring a Raya from a Radak, from the Latin word used in the Radak for the Chalazin. It's hard to tell from the Sefer, it's the Radak, or if it's a different one of the Rishayim, that's this chalazin, but it's a plia, because that Radak, I have the Lashon here, he's describing something he saw and he has. And that's saying he was talking about the Murex, and he had it in front of him, and he called it this Latin word, which is this Murex. So why didn't the Radak put on Tchelos, if it's that way? Like, why didn't he? If he had everything we had, and he meant, and we're in the Raya for what he said. My point is that Raya is from Latin Lashonis. Nobody, you don't pass an halachis. If you have a halachi, bring a raya, it's a nice raya. We don't pass it from the archaeology of the caves, not from the Latin. We have to pass it based on Rishainim, Paiskim, on Gemaris. To me, it's a bit of a dovapella, the whole mahalach. Now, I do want to tell you that another thing that they're very strong about, I'm quoting from the Hagdama that they wrote to me in their letter. Oydesh lahagdim, bibir maus achalazn. Dover yoduahu. The chalazin is not an individual creature. It's a family. It includes everything. All creatures that have a snail's... what's the word for it? Kanufia, I guess, is the... Okay. He's writing a Dovah Yiduah Lakol, and they repeat it a few times. It's not a Dovah Yiduah Lakol. There were Gedolei Olam who held that the squid is the chalazin, and it's a fish. It doesn't crawl on the ground, and it doesn't have on its back. It doesn't have a little house on the back. So to say that the chalazin is snails is fine, but to base a shita on Dovah Yiduah Lakol, the Marsham said, the Marsham entertained the passage. It said that the Marsham wore the Radzina's Tchelos. I don't know if it's true or not. They say he wore it secretly. And the Rishula Kutner, in the letter printed in Deinat Tchelos, is masking that it could be the Tchelos. And the Beis Halevi, in his rejection of it, he didn't say it can't be a fish. Nobody said it. So my point is, my first point is, it really doesn't shtim with Gemaris. It's a Tmiya. To me, it's a tmiya that people would feel there's a possibility that it's it. Someone would ask me, why don't you wear tchelos? They ask me the street, the short answer. I tell them, look, it's 50-50 if it's a fish or a snail. That's 50-50. Then, there's a three-way machlaikis if you need one string of tchelos, or two or four. So that's right away, like 75-25, I'm doing it wrong. So, like, what are the possibilities, what are the odds that it's correct? The long answer is really that you have these three shtark akashas. That if the molecule is identical to Kali Ilan, it can't be it. It cannot be it. And that Yechayiv on Seida, it can't be it. You're not Chayiv on Seida. And if you need it, Zvulun, so if I care, it has to be something in the deep sea. It can't be something you can catch at the beach. The films they took showing people bringing it up were taken from the beach, from the ground. They're just with a video camera. Of the people going out in a little boat and getting it. You don't need sailors for it. You get yeshiva boys to do it. Anyway, that's my point. My point is a halacha point. I don't mean to do anything political. I think in certain circles, the tchenut tcheles is very much like the black hat is in the yeshiva world. It took on a meaning of its own. It identifies you with a certain Torah de kevelt. And so I'm not saying there's no avera to wear it. That's the old taina. But this giloy, that if you sit down, you take out shas, and you take out the svarim that are printed to describe the murex, and you try to make it shtim, if you go just with Rishainim and Gemara, you're going to find very little, no rayas. You'll find shverikaitin with terutzim, or shverikaitin without terutzim. But just bederech halimud, to me, it's something of a davar pel. That's the old time is anything lost. My answer, anything lost, is that money, we don't change money, the way Klal Yisrael, what?
Money.
Money is one thing.
Let's say this... Let's say it's a 2% chance, but if it's a
2% chance, we don't change Hanhogis and Klal Yisrael 2% chance. You know, someone came out with a new tefillin bias for Bar Mitzvah boys. No complaint that the big batim don't fit. So he was a Talmud by Yassin Tarav Adas, and he came out with it, and he came to Rav Palm. Rav Palm said, wonderful. And so I was waiting to see. Rav Palm went to buy, he bought his Einach Lestvillin. He didn't buy it. And the Seicher told him, I have it. He didn't buy it. He says he buys like we always bought. You know, they have the new one that's narrower and taller. It's 100% kosher. But, you know, you look at it, it doesn't look like the Tvillin we wore. There's nothing lost by wearing it. There's Lachat Chila, that it should not be different colors. It should be either white or the color of the beged. You lose that lechatchila. It's not a major loss. I'll give you what they wrote me. It's unedited. They wrote basically it's shver anyway. I think that's what they wrote. That Rashi says, tell us, how are you going to answer it anyway? And I'll show it to you. You can read it.
But it's impossible to say that
I don't know the answer. I can give you in the Torah Mada they answered also. I don't think the words even make. To me, the words, it's like it's, some lines are missing. I don't know. It doesn't seem to make sense. Okay, we're being told that I have to end with Dvar Machshav, and not Dvar Machshav, what I said already. Mm-hmm. But, okay, I'll. You're not being Mishan. Okay. Tell you a machshava that I had. It's by me a new machshava, just thinking about it. It bothered me very often on the bracha Ata Gibar, Loyla Mashem. We all know the three brachas of Shemayna Esrei are Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes. So the first bracha is Chesed, which we can see very well. Shbaruch Hu is Kainei Akel, Zecher Chastei Yovais. The second bracha is supposed to be Gevurah, Yitzchak. So Yitzchak is Gevurah, is Midas Adin. So what's the bracha? Mechaya Mason. As an aside to this, I was once listening to Rav Hutner on tape. He wasn't talking about the Gibar, but he mentioned, he was talking about Chiyas HaMeisim. He said, Chiyas HaMeisim is the biggest chesed that could ever be in the Bria. You give someone Chiyas when you didn't have Chiyas, the biggest chesed. So it reinforced my problem. What's it doing in the bracha of Midas Adin? Why is the bracha of Midas Adin the bracha of Chiyas HaMeisim? It was something that irked me, and I'm not sure still how to answer it. I don't know why it's not discussed at length. However, there is one mahalach which is maybe a very important mahalach. It's the Gemara Ksubis. The Gemara says that one of Rabbi Yechon's talmidim, was Rabbi Chanina, I don't remember, came to him, and he told him that the Nama Aretz doesn't get up by Tchias HaMeisim. You have no Tchias HaMeisim and Olam Haba, two different things. You call Yisrael Yashem Chelek Olam Haba. He told him, Am Yaretz don't get up by Tchias HaMeisim. So Rabbi Yechon said, Lo Nichol Marayichu Delei Mahachi. From Yid, he just never learned. Rabbi Yechon doesn't like you should say it. So Gemara says he came back to him and he said, Matzasi Lehem Takana. I found a tikkun for them. What's the tikkun? Va'atem Hadveikim Hashem Lekechem Chayim Kulchem Hayayim. That somebody who supports Lime Day Torah also has a chelik in the limud, mela has a chelik in Tchias HaMeisim. So what we see from that Gemara is that somebody could be a firm yid all his life and keep all the mitzvahs, but if he's not zeichet to limud HaTorah, to support limud HaTorah, then he has no chelik in Tchias HaMeisim. This kol Yisrael Yisham chelik lo Olam Haba is true. There's no such hanocha at all. We have someone in our neighborhood, a very nice gentleman who never was in yeshiva. He had a son. His son today is in Israel. When his son was in 12th grade, he brought him to my house. When it's a Shabbos, I should talk some sense into him. The son only wanted to learn for the rest of his life. He didn't want to do anything else. And here in Nebuchadnezzar, he's only in 12th grade, he already has these mishagasim in his mind. So the father brought him. He goes to Israel next year. He has to promise to go to college. So well, I knew the father. I told the father, what did you major in? He told me. So what's your parnasa in? And no shaykhis, of course. He says, no, I was different. I was different. Why are you different? Yetziyat Dishmaya, maybe. No, circumstances just worked out, you know. So anyway, he was for a year or two very tzibrachin over this. Today, Baruch Hashem, he has nachas. His son is already married, learning in Eretz Yisrael. Every time he says, I can't believe I have a kid like this. So he always tells me, but he's happier. So I told him, Baruch Hashem was good to you. You would have no chelik in Chiyas HaMeisim. So now you're supporting Baal Karchuk, but you're supporting Olam HaTayr. So now, you know, you'll have a chelik. You'll get up with him. You'll be very proud to get up with him at Chiyas HaMeisim. The idea of Ata Gibor Olam HaShem seems to be that Chiyas HaMeisim is Midas HaDin. That it's not true that a person has a right to Chiyas HaMeisim. It has to do with Amidas HaDin of Liman HaTayra. How much Liman HaTayra you need, I don't know. Rabbi Yaakov in the Sefer, in Chumash and Bereishis, he has to explain. Rabbi Yaakov held to say Merid HaGeshem, not HaGoshem. And most of the world changed. When we were boys, everyone said Merid HaGoshem. Rabbi Yaakov said it should be Merid HaGeshem, and it changed. The Kashi said, why is it Merid HaTal? Why is it not Merid HaTal? Those who daven Sfarad say Merid HaTol, and it's Nachta. So then it's Merid HaGoshem, it's Nachta. What's the difference? So Rabbi Yaakov is Masber. He says that Merid HaGeshem goes on the next words, Mechal Kachayim Bechesed, rain is Mechal Kachayim. But Tal has nothing to do with Mechal Kachayim. Merid HaTal goes on the Tal HaTchiyav, Tchiyas HaMeisim. It goes together with Mechayim Meisim HaTa Rav Leshia. Merid HaTal is, it's a Snachta. That's how Rabbi Yaakov explains it. Even the Tal is Tal of Tchiyas HaMeisim. The point is really that the Tchiyas HaMeisim is Midas HaDin. It has to do with learning. We may be as bold as to say that really all Chiyus that the Rabbanu Shalom gives, any Chayim that the Kaddish Baruch Hu gives is given with a Midas HaDin, with a demand that a person make use of his time. Animals also are alive. There's no Midas HaDin on animals. They're alive and they do what they want. A human being is given Chiyus with the Mida of the Gevurah of the Rabbanu Shalom, with the demand that the time be used. Yitzchak Avinu was the one who had to touch up. Why people are wasting their time? The Gemara says in Shabbos. So this machshava is the machshava that I had, that the Ata Gibor Olam Hashem, the biggest midas adin of the Rabbanu Shalom is the tviya that has to do with zman, has to do with using one's time, learning properly, using one's time to learn or support learning properly. Today, it bothers a lot of us who are in chinuch. A lot of tzedakah money gets sent to types of tzedakahs which are questionable how important they are in Klal Yisrael. People like to give money to, I don't want to say anything, I'm going to get in political trouble, but all kinds of tzedakahs that don't have to do really with Liman HaTorah. It takes away from the kupas ha-tzedakah of the yeshivas. And one person gave $1 million to a certain tzedakah, which, again, it's a nice tzedakah, you know, it's a very nice thing. It's not doing Liman HaTorah. And somebody was very nitzdar because he's a nadvin who gives, you know, $10,000-$20,000 to Torah Das a year. He gave $1 million there. So I told him, he's just not zaycha. He doesn't have siyad d'shmaya to be zaycha to support Torah and Lamdei Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't give him the schus. He needs schus. My point is that the Midas HaDin is to support learning, to sit and learn, to spend a person's time learning. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us time. He gives us the time that we should use it properly. Ashreichem, you know, I'm very for people learning on Motzai Shabbos, especially going to Shiurim on Motzai Shabbos. It's a very good idea. And I hope over the summer months you're not going to neglect it. You'll continue to have Siddurim on Motzai Shabbos. May it be that the Chiyas HaMeisim comes from the pleasure of the loose bone of Motzai Shabbos. Mustamas not only from eating, the pleasure of learning. Alchas Kama V'Kama. Should all be zeichet to be karev mamish. Thank you.